When our critic Bob Mondello gets back from a film festival, we all ask him the same thing. How are the movies? And this year he gave out a lot of B pluses. Now with that good but not great rating, we wondered if there were enough movies he really loved to make a best of 2015 list. Well, he did, and oddly in duplicate. He'll explain.
Not sure why this happened, but I kept seeing matched sets as I was assembling my bests. Two terrific desert movies, two swoon-inducing romances, two single-minded crusades by men who think they're already dead, even a pair of riveting mortgage crisis flicks, and what are the chances of that? The doubleness is a good organizing principle, since my 10 best list nearly always turns into a 20 best. So let's start with two beautifully realized love stories, each named after its leading lady, Carol and Anomalisa. Anomalisa is about a motivational speaker who is convinced that everyone is the same until he meets Lisa, who's an anomaly. Anomalisa.
I think you're extraordinary.
Why?
I don't know yet. It's just obvious to me that you are.
The movie's extraordinary, too. The latest weirdness from Charlie Kaufman, who gave us Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. This time, his leads are puppets, figures in miniature, emotions writ grand. Carol is another love story, uncommonly told.
What do you do on Sundays?
Nothing in particular. What do you do?
Director Todd Haynes is adapting a Patricia Highsmith novel about a love that dared not speak its name in the 1950s, a love between two women.
Would you like to come visit me this Sunday?
Yes.
What a strange girl you are, flung out of space.
Lush and sumptuous, Carol is forever having its camera peer at these women through glass, mirrors, windshields, reflecting the way 50s society saw homosexuals while keeping them at a slight remove. Two splendid films in desert settings made the most of their bleak landscapes. Mad Max Fury Road is a gorgeous scrap metal demolition derby.
Want to get through this?
A popcorn picture with a surprising feminist twist. Tom Hardy's Max is more or less a sidekick to Charlize Theron's Furiosa.
Go!
Ridley Scott, meanwhile, makes conquering a desert on another planet downright cerebral. The Martian is about an astronaut accidentally left for dead by a crew that won't be able to get back to Mars for 4 years, or four times 365 souls in NASA speak.
Let's do the math. Our service mission here was supposed to last 31 souls. For redundancy, they sent 68 souls worth of food. That's for six people. So for just me, that's going to last 300 souls, which I figure I can stretch to 400 if I ration. So I got to figure out a way to grow 3 years worth of food here on a planet where nothing grows. Luckily, I'm a botanist.
The Martian and Mad Max are physical journeys. Equally striking this year were a couple of cinematic head trips. Pixar's Inside Out takes audiences literally inside the head of an 11-year-old girl.
Train of thought, right on schedule.
By giving personalities to her emotions.
Anger, unload the daydreams. I ordered extra in case things get slow in class.
Might come in handy if this new school is full of boring, useless classes, which it probably will be.
Oh, sadness.
And while Inside Out expresses everything its heroine is thinking, the tragedy 45 years gives us Charlotte Rampling as a wife who keeps her feelings bottled up. So much so, when a revelation shakes her marriage, that the film could almost be called Outside In.
We never talked about it in all the years that we've known each other. And it's tainted everything.
That's six films. The next two are a pair of brutal historical epics about men who risk everything because they figure they're already dead. Saul in Son of Saul because he's in Auschwitz. And the 1820s fur trapper in The Revenant because he was left for dead by a man who also killed his son.
He's afraid. He knows how far I came to find him.
Both The Revenant and Son of Saul left me wrung out. The year's matched set of mortgage crisis films left me angry. I'd suggest you watch 99 Homes first. It'll have you seething about predatory real estate brokers.
This home has been foreclosed on.
No, this is not happening.
Then once you've become acquainted with the ordinary folks who were the housing bubble's big losers, check out the guys who saw the crash coming and figured out how to profit from it in The Big Short.
You're saying that at 8% the bonds fail and we are already at 4%?
That's right.
If they go to 8%, it's Armageddon.
Let me put it this way. I'm standing in front of a burning house,
and I'm offering you fire insurance on it.
The Big Short plays like a comic heist flick, but this heist had real-world consequences. Consequences in the Islamic world drive two eye-opening films by Muslim directors. Timbuktu chronicles the confusion in rural Africa when jihadists issue conflicting edicts about worship and culture. They ban music, for instance, which leads to a line in the subtitles, "They are singing in praise of God and the Prophet. Should I arrest them?" The Iranian film Taxi finds gentle comedy in a different set of contradictions. Internationally celebrated director Jafar Panahi is now banned by his government from operating a camera, writing a script, or directing a film. So what does he do? He drives a taxi with a camera on its dashboard and lets Tehran's dramas come to him. That is six sets of matched pairs, a dozen films. I've got two more doubles and then some singular sensations. The next twosome, films that exalt journalists. Spotlight, a sharply made newspaper procedural about a Pulitzer-winning Boston Globe investigation, the one that documented not just sexual abuse by priests, but a cover-up by the Catholic Church.
They knew, and they let it happen! Two kids! We gotta nail these scumbags. We gotta show people that nobody can get away with this.
Also dealing with turning a spotlight on horrors, the documentary Salt of the Earth, which looks at the exquisite black and white images created by photojournalist Sebastião Salgado. He made the world face up to landscapes of famine, drought, and war by finding humanity in scenes of despair. And my last matched set? Two feminine perspectives on sex and maturity. The youthful indie version is Diary of a Teenage Girl.
I had sex today. I know nothing's changed, but everything looks totally different to me now.
And for the adult version, there's Amy Schumer's subversively funny Trainwreck.
I slept at the doctor's place last night.
You never spend the night. What were you, blackout drunk?
No, I was sober. I had like two drinks, three max. Four, now that I'm tallying.
And now that I'm tallying, let me mention some remarkable films that stood alone. Tangerine, a brash story about trans prostitutes shot on iPhone 5s. The Tribe, a wordless portrait of deaf juvenile delinquents. The Force Awakens, a little indie flick from J.J. Abrams you might have heard of. And
It's Weird,
Love and Mercy.
She comes in so strong.
The story of Beach Boy Brian Wilson, who struggled mightily with mental illness and played extravagantly with sound.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me...
Good, we got that part. Cut it. I want to move to Gold Star for the next part.
Not again.
Okay, let's cut, please. Okay, so try it, more staccato, okay? You guys are the rhythm now. So it's like an engine underneath the song. Dennis, can you be quiet, please, while we find the sound? Please.
I think about sound all day in my job. Love and Mercy made me reconsider everything I thought I knew. Not bad for the 20th film in a year that, B pluses or no, kept those good vibrations happening. I'm Bob Mandela.
Good vibrations.